D.C., choirs have been a very important part of the tradition of Christian faith in the city. And I am excited that our choir is doing so well. And I just encourage you to continue to pray and support. And if you have a voice, are you looking for choir members? If you think you have a voice. Now, sometimes the leader of the choir will look at you and say, Josh, you cannot sing. But sometimes there's a good choir leader who will say, you sing like an angel. And let's pray that we have some angel voices here this morning. The Servant King song is so important because we are awaiting the coming of the Servant King. Let us pray. Lord God, thank you for the word that testifies to your love toward humankind and that you chose to send your Son to come to this earth at a specific time and place in the history of humanity. Lord, I pray that we will be faithful followers of this Christ, this Messiah, our Lord, and we will represent him to our world in a way that gives you glory. In Christ's name I pray, amen. Worldwide, Christians are beginning the season of Advent. What is it? It is the start of the Christian year. Advent is a time when we begin anew. We can take a fresh outlook on life. We can prepare our hearts and look with joy to the soon arrival of Christ, our Savior and our Redeemer. We have had many struggles this past year, failures perhaps. Perhaps we even moved backwards spiritually. But now we have a new opportunity. We have a new year to refocus. God gives grace to us and hope to us during this time. It's a time of waiting, a time of expecting, a time of longing, a time of joy. But Advent is mostly a time to prepare, to draw close to God. There are other themes out there that are important too, because in Advent we remember the story of Jesus Christ coming into this world. We think of the great history and drama of the Christmas account in the scripture. Advent is also an occasion where we might invite neighbors to our home to see and to participate in the Christian celebration that we individually have. We have 4 weeks of Advent, 4 weeks of preparation. My first point this morning is this. In the season of Advent, God gives a privilege and a task to each of us. The privilege is that we will soon receive the gift of God in Christ Jesus. Christmas Day will come, but before that day comes, we prepare to receive the arrival of Jesus, his rule and his reign in our life and in our midst, our church. But the second item is that we are to prepare our heart, our mind, and soul for his coming. That is Advent. Advent is a preparation season. Are you ready? Are you prepared for the advent of Jesus? Or is your focus on the same old materialistic values of a world that will one day disintegrate? Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians, "For this world in its present form is passing away. One day our eyes will dim, and one day the sun will go out." Do we have any science people here? Raise your hand. Science people. Anybody scientists? Come on. Anybody science? Is the sun going to go out? One day it will. but Jesus Christ will reign eternal. So let's take these 4 weeks seriously. Let's read the gospel accounts and prepare. Let's join in the celebration of this time, caroling, inviting others to church. I enjoy visiting other churches during this time. There's a lot of nice things going on. Rita Chow invited me to go to the Kennedy Center for a great Christmas pageantry. But in Christian tradition, we have Handel's Messiah, we have cantatas, we have music events all over Washington, D.C. I encourage you to check one of these out because they're beautiful. But most important is the preparation that takes place in your heart. One of the images I have in my mind that I have never forgotten was when I was in Singapore in 1986. And I visited a church with a friend. And that church did caroling. You know what caroling is? It's going around singing the songs of the faith. And that church would go into the apartment complexes, would go into the malls, and sing the songs of the birth of Jesus Christ. They also sang Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer on occasion, because children love that. But they sang as a people of faith. And I would never forget the joy that they had from that. And so, Chinese church, I encourage you to join in with carols, to take this gospel message out of the church into the streets, into the mall, to the homes, to the apartment complexes, because this is a great good news. Let Chinese Community Church be about making such memories alive. Sometimes the hype and marketing, the glitz and the glare of the season takes our hearts and minds away from the real nature of this time. Without Christ, it is only another big party, a rave with presents, costumes, and fleeting fun. But over the years, it gets boring without Christ, devoid of meaning. A Christless Christmas is an empty Christmas. So I encourage you to prepare for the coming of Jesus. Place Christ at the center of your Christmas experience and celebration. Let us never forget God's astounding and radical intervention into human history. It is much more than anything we could experience in the form of a party. Let us never trade him, Jesus, for a winter party with no purpose. I enjoy Christmas lights, presents, Santas. I remember when I was a kid, my favorite movie was what's the snowman called? Frosty, that's right. And the Grinch that stole Christmas. I love these things. But these things are all cultural expressions that have nothing to do with the reality and essence of the advent of Christ. Friends, let us prepare our hearts to sing with the angels. Christ the Savior is born, because that is the real gospel of Luke, that Luke makes clear to us. My second point is this morning. God chooses the times and places for his work. And I'm going to read the scripture. I invite you to read the scripture also with me. Luke chapter 3. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, Herod tetrarch of Galilee, his brother Philip tetrarch of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias tetrarch of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. The Gospel of Luke is different from the other Gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, and John. Luke pays great attention to details, like a classical Greek historian, and they say that he is a historian, recording facts. Note how he mentions specific people and places, all well known in history.
Luke wants us to understand that the gospel message is not some philosophy, something that someone thinks and imagines. It is rooted in concrete history. It is reality. John the Baptist was a real person, and there is evidence, there are names, there are places. I sadly laughed this week. I read an article from a Christian writer in Washington, D.C. His name's Russell Moore, very significant philosopher and ethicist. The article was entitled, "Does God Believe in Elon Musk?" You know Musk. He's the brilliant inventor and CEO of Tesla and SpaceX. He told two reporters recently that he thought that life was really one big computer simulation, not real. That life could be machine-based, multidimensional deception contrived by beings we never met, and for reasons we may never know, essentially running the universe the way he might play a video game. Friends, that's kind of crazy, if you ask me. The gospel writers make it very clear that Jesus Christ, John the Baptist, came at a specific point in history, at a specific time. I'm thankful for Luke, who kept the record. When we read Luke, he says, "The word of God came to John during the reign of the Roman Emperor Tiberius Caesar." You are sitting right here in the Chinese Community Church in the second year of the presidency of Donald Trump, in the third year of the leadership of Xi Jinping. You are here at a specific time and place. And the gospel makes it very clear that God reaches out to us where we are. He meets us at times and places of his choosing. And I pray he will meet you here this morning. I pray that during this Advent, these 4 weeks, as you prepare your heart, that he will meet you. He will speak to you about the importance of this time. I've always believed a church like this in a city will attract people who come through the doors. Most people find a church like this on their phone by Googling. They find the church and they come to the church because of Google. But when they come to the church, we have to be a people of joy, a people of expectant understanding that God loves us and expects us to love others. Make Chinese Community Church a real place of encounter for people that God brings to us. And if you can, win them to Christ. Let that be the act of preparation for Chinese Community Church this year, that we will win people to faith in Jesus Christ. Thirdly, God calls us and expects our response. Read together with me. "He went into all the country around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, a voice of one calling in the wilderness." John is inviting people to prepare. He's a voice crying in the wilderness. He wants people to prepare, but people don't want to repent today. He says, "Repent, forgive," but we don't want to do it. People get upset if someone calls them out. They get upset at the preacher. Where's Charles? Josh? Do people ever get upset at the preacher? You're talking about me. Let me tell you, when I preach, I never am thinking about a person. Never. Never in my life do I have an idea. And I see Wally. Where's Wally? And I say, "I'm going to get Wally today." Never in the world do I preach with a target in mind. The Holy Spirit speaks to your heart. And sometimes people get mad and think that I'm the Holy Spirit, but I'm not. A baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Even John's baptism. John's baptism is different from the baptism that we have as Christians. But when we see John asking people to be baptized, he's wanting them to show an act of commitment as a process of preparation for meeting the arrival of the Christ child,
Some suggest this is the baptism, but really it is probably a cleansing ritual, a preparation ritual. How do you prepare for the coming of Jesus? How are you going to prepare for Christmas? What are you going to do in your life spiritually? I ask everyone that question. You can be a church leader. You can be a pastor. How are you preparing for Christmas? During Advent, we should meditate upon John the Baptist's message. What does God expect from us as a church and as an individual? This phrase, baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, is very important. It's like a metaphor here. It emphasizes that God's visit, the coming of Jesus, requires moral preparation. Morality, moral preparation. How are you preparing morally? Or does anybody ever talk about morality anymore? I don't think they do. They don't believe in it. But Christianity expects our hearts and our lives to be moral, to reflect the holiness of God. How are you preparing morally for Christmas? Our heart is to be made right. We are to surrender to the will of God and His plan, forsake the sin that so easily binds us, abandon the things that drag us down, the secret sins, obey God. Our whole life should be submitted to God. Some of us have been going around with unforgiveness in our heart, and finally the jerk left the church. And now you don't think you have to forgive? There's some people you probably have to go to 30 years afterwards and say, "Will you forgive me?" They may not be in the church, but you still need to forgive. You still need to ask for forgiveness, even if they're gone. And you will be healed by doing that. Our whole life submitted to God, mind, body, soul. Jesus teaches this. I know Christians who are leaders in churches, and they don't even support the work of the kingdom of God. They hold back. They buy themselves expensive toys and games and cars and vacations and beautiful things, but never have a thought about giving a full tithe, giving to the work of God. They hold it for themselves. Their body might be baptized, but their wallet and their pocketbook are not baptized. A true follower of Jesus is fully committed, even in finances. Church people love to talk about, "I love Jesus," and they enjoy the celebration, the fun of the season, but never personally have introduced someone to Jesus Christ, never asked somebody to come to church, never tried to convince someone that Jesus Christ is alive and they can be saved, they can experience new life, forgiveness, transformation, the presence of God. People in church never in the world tried to help somebody believe in Jesus Christ. Personally, I think a good qualification, Josh, Charles can tell me if this is a good idea, for those serving on a deacon board or a church board or as a pastor would be to submit a statement of giving for the year and details about people you led to Christ. That's only a suggestion. It won't go through. And Joanna also I would include in that. Yes! How we function as Christians is important. If we're talking the talk, we must walk the walk. And if you are talking the talk, you must walk the walk. That's what true Christianity is all about. It's real. It's real. It's not for show. If you have a church run by people who give faithfully, who worship in spirit and truth, a church where people try to win people to Christ, you have a church that is fulfilling its mandate and purpose, it will always thrive. Let us pray that Washington, D.C. will be full of churches that walk the walk. I went to a church last week, a beautiful church. It was almost empty. Great history, great tradition, great sermon, no people. And I always ask, how come, why does that happen? One of the reasons it happens is because people stop doing what God calls them to do, to be Christians, to prepare their hearts to meet Jesus. Fourthly, God brings transformation of life to us. When we choose to follow the words of the Baptist, John the Baptist, and repent, when we choose to follow his words, we experience powerful transformation. Life changes. We don't have any change take place if we sit on our rear ends. What's another word for rear end? Yeah. I won't say that. I can't do that from up here, but I heard it. Yeah. If you don't change, nothing's going to happen. So if Chinese Community Church wants renewal, there has to be some changes in our lives, maybe in structures. But that's how renewal takes place. It's like if you have a patient. Do we have any doctors here in the house? Yes. I would ask you to raise your hand. How many want to be doctors here? Yes, we have some. Let me ask you, if you have a patient and you say, you know, you need to stop drinking 7 beers a day. You know, it's not healthy for you. Your liver has a problem. And the person says, well, you know, I like it. It tastes good. What can you do? Nothing for him. But if he changes his behavior, his life, he makes those preparation moves and says, I quit that, then things can happen. But that's a choice. Listen to what John the Baptist says here. And my son's an engineer. He likes this verse. And maybe you can think about how he likes it, why he likes it. He's a civil engineer. Prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight paths for him. Every valley shall be filled in. Every mountain and hill made low. The crooked road shall become straight. The rough ways smooth. And all people will see God's salvation. Isaiah ends it this way. The glory of the Lord will be revealed and all mankind together will see it. This is a perfect picture of a construction project. You level things out, you make things straight. That's how we prepare for the coming of Christ. That's how we prepare for the advent of Jesus. We inspect our life, and some things that are not good or pleasing to God, we push away, we get rid of. Some things we need to dump in our life because they will take us down. And maybe, you know, we won't stop being a Christian, but it will make our lives as a Christian miserable. One of the things that attracts people to the church is the joy of the Lord. You come into the church, there's great joy because people have surrendered to God. I challenge you, Chinese Community Church, surrender to God. This morning you are here at this time and place. If you do not know Jesus as your Lord or you've wandered here, consider the advice of John the Baptist, who was a true speaker for God. Prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight paths for him. In other words, get your life right. Change what you must change to get ready for Jesus' coming and serving him this next year. Cast off the things that hold you in bondage. Make straight paths. Your time and your place are in his hands, and the time is right now. He's chosen to place you here, and now you must choose. What way will you go? Will you prepare in these next few weeks? Will you prepare for the advent of Christ by getting your house, your life in order? Asking forgiveness from someone, repenting of sin, canceling evil subscription, stopping your robbery of God, will you take on the way, the walk of faithfulness? Think about it. I'm challenging you. A long time ago, I learned that a sermon is never an information dump. A sermon is always persuasive and is always focused on getting people to change and move toward God. So in my sermons, I always ask for a response in some way. I may not invite people to come up, but I will ask you intellectually, emotionally, to make a decision in your heart to follow Christ. I want to say something else before I close about this text.
I like this text, John the Baptist. I think it's fascinating and ironic in the American context when we read the gospel Christmas story that we run into this character, John the Baptist. He said there was a brood of vipers somewhere, John the Baptist. He doesn't fit into the American Christmas season. He's not a jolly old man bearing gifts. He seems a bit too serious for the season. He's a bit unkempt. He eats strange food. He's dressed in wild clothes. He's harsh. His head will get off, cut off. That's so unseemly for Christmas. He calls us to repentance when we should be eating Christmas cake and drinking eggnog. John the Baptist interrupts our schedule and says, you need to repent and forgive. That is what Advent is all about. We see Advent marketed today as a season wanting us to be consumers. John the Baptist says, no, you will not be a consumer. You will pray. You will draw close to God. You will prepare your hearts. John the Baptist asks us to deal with our hearts before the arrival of the Son of God. There's no mention here of going into debt buying presents. Instead, John the Baptist talks about hard work of preparing. He's not a positive and fun individual, but he makes things uncomfortable for us and challenges us. He seems to be against all the cheer and fun when he preaches to us. But friends, that is the gospel. John the Baptist is part of the gospel story, and we need to pay attention to his call to us to prepare. Now is the time and place to prepare for the advent of Christ. And the joy of the Lord comes when we prepare. Listen to his cry, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight paths for him, and all people will see God's salvation. Let us pray. Lord God, we all need to prepare. We all need to open our hearts up and to take steps. In those days, the people came to see John in the wilderness. They traveled a great distance, and they chose to get baptized. And we don't do that here today because things have changed, and baptism has a different meaning today. But preparation still applies. And so help us, Lord, in our hearts to choose things that we need to do in order to prepare for your coming. Lord, I ask your blessing upon your people in Christ's name. Amen.